Welcome one and all once again to Dual World in episode 76. We've had a short break, life happened, and we're back this week with weeks worth of news and excitement in the video game industry. Joining us this week, we have Martin.
Hello.
Okay, I was going to say, what's up with the day there? And we have Chad.
Oh, hi there, Internet.
Chad is right now using IRC, which apparently still exists. He probably still IMs people
from ICQ. Yes, it does. Fuck you, it's great.
He probably still IMs people from ICQ as well. So, there's that. This week we have a lot of news to get through because we've had 2 weeks of stuff, and somewhere along the lines there was a Comic-Con as well.
All right, Deadpool, I forgot about that.
Yeah, so I guess we'll start off with the Deadpool game since Chad already wants to talk about it. It was announced at Comic-Con by Deadpool himself that there will be a Deadpool, I think it's M-rated game, coming out next year.
Really make a non-M-rated Deadpool game? Like, that just wouldn't work.
Well, I mean, you could do it. He would just have to clean up his language a bit, and you wouldn't show blood. And yeah, it would be kind of odd, I guess. It'd be like Mortal Kombat without the gore.
Yeah, to properly convey that level of insanity, you need an M-rated game.
And you would know about that. They show the trailer, and it does look like it's going to be a mess. In a good way. You know, Deadpool shooting people, he's cutting off their heads, he's doing... It sounds more when you say stuff like that, but it does look like a Deadpool game. It's fun. And it's nice to see a game that may be on par with the Dark Knight duo in Arkham City and Arkham Asylum getting its shake. And this is by High Moon Studios, I believe, the people behind Transformers War for Cybertron.
Yes.
So it's going to be good.
So let's hope it's going to be good. We actually don't know how well Foil of Cybertron is going to be, even though it seems to be... Because they're also the same people behind like Transformers 3, the video game.
Yeah.
So, I mean, granted, that's different because they're kind of forced into this time constraint just due to having it related to the movie and all that other fun jazz that comes with it.
That High Moon had to take over Transformers 3 from another studio.
Studio
even worse.
Was this studio put on Call of Duty? I mean, it is Activision, so...
I don't know.
You can never tell. But yeah, the game looks interesting, and I can't wait to see more of it. But like I said, we do have some time before it's out. It's not out until next year. I can possibly see another trailer, some gameplay stuff at the VGAs. It seems like the type of game that would benefit from that audience.
Yeah.
Also, Deadpool voiced by North.
By Nolan North?
Yeah.
I would say I'm surprised by that, but Nolan North does everybody. And I could be mistaken. I think he does Deadpool and Wolverine versus Hulk.
I'm pretty sure he also did Deadpool in Marvel vs. Capcom.
So yeah, it's a character he's kind of done before, and he works well in it. Let's be honest, Nolan North is in everything now. So, there's that.
Yep.
And I guess while we're on the path of superheroes, it also came out that Cyborg and Nightwing will be joining the cast of Injustice, Gods Among Us, whatever the official title is. Nightwing's cool, especially being that even though he's Batman's protege, they don't have similar fighting styles, which is always great.
It looks pretty cool from the gameplay stuff I saw.
Yeah, even in like the Arkham games, they make Robin and Nightwing fight much different than Batman, especially since that Nightwing has like the dual baton stuff that he uses.
In Justice, he seems to have two different fighting styles. You can have the two batons or the staff.
Okay.
You can put these batons together to have, like, one big staff to fight with. So that's interesting. I still don't care about Cyborg.
Yeah, I would then, this is, you know, this is kind of unrelated. This is more Justice General. They really seem to want to push him as the next big thing. He's become a member of the Justice League. He was placed in on Justice League Doom, the DC DTV, instead of Aquaman. He, you know, he's kind of been a staple. Yeah, they don't, he's one of the main characters announced for this game, but it seems like no matter what they do, nobody cares about him.
He is kind of lame.
Like, I mean, if they wanted to push somebody in with similar setup, they should have just done something like Steel. But, of course, Shaq already kind of ruined that with his movie, so...
Yeah.
There's that to go work with as
I was kind of hoping they would announce Aquaman at Comic-Con. That would have been awesome.
I feel like Comic-Con is the time when you kind of announce,
things not, that don't suck.
Well, I was going to say...
Unlike
well,
Aquaman.
Aquaman's awesome.
Aquaman would be an awesome fighter, I think. He has a very unique fighting style and stuff like that. I just think it's kind of, you know, like you kind of want to get the big guns out, and I don't think Nightwing and Cyborgs were those big guns.
Yeah. Also, Ed Boon has tweeted some Aquaman stuff, so I'm pretty sure he will be in.
I'm sure Aquaman will be in it. I imagine the Big Seven have to be in it, and then
they have to, because I'm pretty sure Ed Boon also talked about them trying to reflect the new 52 stuff.
Yeah, so
I can Aquaman see. Is a pretty big part of that.
Another character would have been like Green Lantern and stuff like that.
Yeah, Green Lantern is a must, I think.
Yeah, I think he would have been big at Comic-Con. Yeah. But, I mean, they weren't the only people who didn't really deliver big on announcements of new characters for their fighting game. We actually had an announcement of like 4 characters. I think we talked about the prior to here for PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale. At, what is it, EVO? We
yep.
got announcement of, wow, I am forgetting these people. Oh, Toro?
Toro and Heihachi.
Yes. And Toro is apparently Sony's mascot in Japan.
Yeah.
I didn't know you could have regional specific mascots, but there's that.
Looks pretty funny, I have to say. I mean, he was already in Street Fighter Cross Tekken, at least in the PS3 version.
I thought that was the Vita version.
And was it the Vita version? I think it's also the PS3 version.
Okay, because...
Anyway, he looks pretty funny in PlayStation All-Stars because he has, like, I think 4 different costumes, and every costume reflects another character from a different fighting game franchise, and you have basically moves that resemble that franchise. So you have your Ryu or some other characters, and... Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Okay.
And Heihachi is basically very much close quarters based and totally just hand to hand, like a Tekken character probably should be. And looks like he even has some simple juggle combos, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, I think it's not. I mean, if you were to go outside for a third party character from a fighting game, I don't imagine he would have been your first option.
I have to say I think he's a pretty cool addition, and I think he's that out of the ordinary. I mean, he was the guest character in Soul Calibur 2 on PlayStation 2.
And wasn't that the worst selling version of the 3?
Maybe, I don't know.
Well, I know the GameCube one's the best one, and then the Xbox one had Spawn, so... but yeah, it's not necessary that he's a bad addition. I mean, he's obviously a fighter, he has the technique and stuff like that. It's just that I think if you wanted to, I would have went with somebody from Street Fighter or Mortal Kombat first. Even probably Soul Calibur. But, you know... It does make sense, because until this generation, for the most part, Tekken had it remained a PS-exclusive franchise.
Yeah, you have to think about they want to add PlayStation third-party characters. I mean, Big Daddy falls kind of out of that, but...
Yeah, that's to say,
in fighting games, if you think about fighting games, the Tekken series is a PlayStation thing.
Yeah. And this past weekend at Comic-Con, they announced the addition of Jack and Daxter as one character, and Cole from Infamous. neither one of those was a surprising entrance, but cool to see them nonetheless. Especially Cole. I think Infamous is a really underrated franchise. And again, he makes interesting uses of his powers and stuff like that. And I believe, I don't know if there was footage, but I think they announced a Warhawk Uncharted stage.
I'm not sure if it was announced. I think they talked about it being during, being part of a pitch for the game. So I'm not sure if it will really be in the final thing. I'm not quite sure about that. One thing about Jak and Daxter, though, is I was kind of weirded out by how big he is. I kind of would have always expected him to be smaller.
But it seems like almost everybody's this. I mean, no, that's not true, because Parappa's pretty damn short. And so is Toro. So maybe they have, this? I mean, I don't want to sound down on the game, but it seems like a lot of the characters, their styles don't really mesh well. Mm. So it kind of looks odd with some of them.
Yeah, but of course we never saw Jak next to a human, so who knows?
Yeah, I mean,
You can also see them going with a bigger size because they have to have Daxter on him.
Yeah.
Otherwise, he probably would have been too small.
Now, am I mistaken? I wasn't here for most of this week, so I know you're following this secondhand right now. Is, if I'm mistaken, Jak also has, does he have different movesets or different appearances from each of the three games? Because he does kind of change his appearance and his attitude.
It looks similar in 2 and 3. The only thing new in 3 was a dark Jak. You were talking about Daxter?
Well, no, I was talking about, because they do have multiple forms at representation, I think.
I don't think much changed between the second and third game. They look really different in the first game. They were also much younger then.
Okay. But yeah, I mean, that should be, and I think they said the next time they have announcement of characters, GamesCon, and that is in, I think, 3 weeks?
August, yeah.
Is anybody going to that? Because I know that's your big Opus show.
Can't, because I will be on vacation.
You are on vacation every other week.
Otherwise, I would have been.
Okay. So yes, I think that's it for fighting game.
I was away for 5 days.
Look at us, Mr. Jet Setter. Yeah, I think that's it for fighting games. I guess I'm missing something. We got news that Metal Gear Solid 4 will be getting a trophy patch next month? Or is it the end of this month?
It's sometime in August.
I don't know, but if it's not retroactive, then they can fuck
it's
off.
It's about time for some people.
It's not, it's not retroactive. I don't think trophies...
It is retroactive.
Is it?
It is?
Yeah, so if you own a copy of Metal Gear Solid 4, it'll patch your copy.
Well, no, I think he meant
if you beat
the game, will you get those trophies?
I don't know.
I don't think any game that has been patched with trophies ever had that feature.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Well, it's not impossible, though. Because I'm assuming the game records stats at some point.
Yeah, I mean, even the first Uncharted recorded all that stuff, but still the trophy didn't unlock.
That's to say, because I did it with Uncharted, where I beat the game, and then they announced the trophy support a month later, and none of this stuff counted. So I went through the first two missions, and I stopped. I'm not replaying the game for trophies. It should have been here the first time. And actually, Uncharted, Metal Gear Solid 4, and Heavenly Sword were the reasons I stopped caring about PlayStation trophies, because when I got that, there was three of the first games I got, and none of them had supported trophies. And still, Uncharted got support for it afterwards. Heavenly Sword still doesn't have it, and Metal Gear Solid is getting it 4 years later.
I don't know what took them so long. I really don't.
And the only reason why they're doing it is because they're re-releasing the game anyway.
Well, they are re-releasing the game for that, and I also think, if I'm not mistaken, they're also patching it or fixing it so that you can do chapter by chapter install instead of doing it all at once.
Oh, thank God.
Oh, the other way around. You had to install the chapter you were playing, and then you had to install the next chapter. Now you can install the whole thing at once.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because before, if you wanted to hop around chapters, like when you saved or whatever, loaded one chapter, it would delete the information from the other chapter, so you'd have to... It was fucked. Anyway.
That doesn't sound fun.
But,
I need to replay... Well, I should play this game. I grinded like 2 hours into it before I got bored. Maybe trophy support will bring me back to it. So yeah, so that's coming out, and I'm sure...
See, I did everything there was to do in that game.
Except
that's why I'm pissed that I'm going to get no credit for it.
Does that mean... What is that? Like, everybody was complaining about this super hard mode. I heard some people even saved it for hope that they would have a trophy to beat it or something like that.
Yeah, there's an emblem for, like, beating the game on the highest difficulty with no alerts, no deaths, no continues, and no items. Which I fucking did, and now I have to do it again, and I'm furious about it.
Well, you don't have to do it again. You choose to do it again.
Fine, whatever. You know what I mean?
You just, what, you want official acknowledgement that you did it? You want
some
type of trophy that says,
yep,
I did it?
I do.
Okay. This is why did they ever do that? I know that was one of the things they used to talk about, was like giving you, not physical, but like giving you virtual trophies in home.
I don't
people
think they ever did
PlayStation
that.
Home?
People do use PlayStation Home, actually, and we'll talk
a lot
about
of people
that.
Do.
We'll talk about that in a couple. We'll still have to see how that works out. I think we have something coming up about that soon. And on the other side of the patching road, or the patching fence, we have the whole incident with Fez.
Oh, my God.
I mean, just for the quick and simple version of it, as far as I know, is
Bill
that...
Bill Fitch is a dick. That's the quick and simple version.
Okay, that's Daniel's version of the story.
Phil Fish likes money, you mean?
Phil Fish likes money. he does not egg fans, apparently. So apparently it came out that Fez came out in, like, April. Like most games this day and age, it had bugs and stuff that kind of ruined the game for people. So they released a patch for the game, and it fixed some of the problems while exploiting other ones, even to the point where it actually deleted people's save files. Now, of course, people hate when they can't beat games they buy. I don't know why. So, you know, it came up to, what is it, Polytron?
Yeah. Phil Fish.
And they released a statement saying that they won't patch the game because they don't think it's worth it, because apparently you have to pay Microsoft $40,000 or something like that if you want to release a second patch for your game. Now, I don't know if Phil Fish did this in hopes that he could probably drum up support from his consumers and they would, like, pressure Microsoft to give him a free patch. But it's a contract that everybody signs. Everybody knows the stipulations of the deal with Microsoft. You get one free patch, and then everything else after that you have to pay for, which is a great system if you don't want people to keep on, you know, ship it and then fix it. So this kind of forces you to either, one, ship a great game the first time, two, really, really study the information that's out there and see what everybody's having problems with as far as your game goes and work on a patch that fixes these issues, or three, you keep on paying them until you get it right.
So there are numerous problems with this. Polytron is, at the most, three people, right?
Yeah.
You can't... What you're doing is you're demanding a lot of QA and of a three-person company. And maybe they don't have the money to do that. They probably don't have the manpower to do that. They probably don't have the resources to do that. So, you know, and you can't say you need to make a game that's as bug-free as possible. And even then, these things happen, as we're experiencing right now.
But and that's kind of true, but it's not like Fez was a game that was rushed out. They took their time with it. If they really felt that, you know, they could have done a bit more Q&A.
The second problem I have with this is Microsoft have given people more than one free patch. The guy who developed Marathon for XBLA, he said that he managed, he said on Twitter that he managed to get two free patches off of Microsoft, because obviously one of them was the free one that you get, and one of them was for DLC, and Microsoft gave him some leeway on it. So it's not impossible. And three, I find it hilarious, and I quote, this is a deleted post, Phil Fish, or someone at Polytron, deleted this post off their website, and I'm using Google Cache to access it, right? It says, it's a shitty numbers game to playing for sure, but as a small independent, paying so much money for patches makes no sense at all, especially when you consider the alternative. Had Fez been released on Steam instead of XBLA, the game would have been fixed 2 weeks after release at no cost to us. And now then, after this post was made, Polytron posted on Twitter about how their exclusivity period is ending. Now, we're talking about the same person who, when asked if Fez was coming to PC, they said, no, PCs are for spreadsheets. And here he is crying about how he gets a better deal from Valve, and how he can't wait until he can put it on Steam, and they won't have any of these problems.
Okay, I was going to say, I mean, that, well, one, that just sounds like an arrogant statement to make in general, but it seems that seems to be his MO, that seems to be the way he's worked. Two, is that, you know, I understand...
And if you're listening, Phil Fish...
He's not.
I don't care if you get if I don't care if your game appears on Steam at all now. I'm not going to buy it based on this. You say that, you know, my preferred platform is only for spreadsheets, and then you go, yeah, we can't wait to be on Steam. We wouldn't have had this bullshit there. No, that's not how you do. That's not how you drum up support for your product. Even if you're having money problems issuing patches.
I was going to say that it's not necessary. To me, the biggest problem, and this is the same thing we kind of went through with Mass Effect 3, is that you don't want to piss off your consumer base. Like, basically what they're saying is that we don't like our consumers enough to shell out some money so that you have a working game.
And this is it. Fez is by no means a failure. It's done really well. And... You know,
I think 100,000 copies, if I'm not mistaken.
So it sold 100,000 copies at $15.
Probably more if you count in euros.
Yeah, do the math, right? That's over $1 million. Obviously, Microsoft has got to take a cut of that, but...
I think they take 30%?
I think it might be a bit higher. I don't know the exact numbers, but I think everybody takes around 30%. I know,
yeah.
Apple does, and that's usually the baseline that people go with.
You know, you've got $700,000 approximately in the bank. Why can't you issue a... I don't understand why you can't issue a patch.
Well, I was going to say the other thing is with the whole, like, you know, if this was on Steam, is that... It wasn't Steam, it wasn't Valve, it wasn't Sony, it wasn't Nintendo that forced them to release OU on Microsoft's platform.
No, they chose to do it. They've agreed to the terms of the contract. You know, and considering Microsoft has, let's face it, got a history of screwing over their partners, you know.
Well, again, it's not, okay, like I said, it's not like you don't know what you're getting into bed with when you go with Microsoft. I mean, it's not like these companies don't have... these guidelines that tell you exactly what to expect when you sign up with these services. I imagine that it's no different if you're EA or Ubisoft or Activision.
Well, it's,
I mean,
not any different, but but you know, they stump up the money.
Yeah, and from what I understand, is that you don't... I could be mistaken. I just read some of this on The Verge this morning or something like that. Is that you don't have to actually... You don't even have to pay Microsoft. You could have them take it out of your future revenue.
Yeah.
So
he could have probably worked a deal to say, look, take it out of my future revenue every month for 6 months. I think as long as Microsoft get their money, they don't care.
They would probably agree to something like that. I mean,
yeah.
Aren't they technically the publisher of Fez on the Xbox?
I think that a publisher of anything on Xbox Live that doesn't have a publisher, I could be mistaken.
Though. Yeah, it's published by Microsoft.
But yeah, I mean, you know, there are some rules and stuff that, but yeah, if they wanted to, I mean, and the other thing is, and I don't know how it would work, is like they could technically do what Marathon people did and do a DLC, but yeah, paid DLC is kind of iffy, if that's the only way for you to get a fixed version of your game. But
no, because they'd have been able to work someone, the point I was making there is they could have worked something out with Microsoft.
Yeah, and that's I mean, we don't know the full situation what's going on behind scenes, but it's like I said, it does seem like they were trying to drum up fan support to say, like, Microsoft, you know what, cut these guys a break, allow them to patch this game for free for us. And I don't think that's how you should approach it. You shouldn't start like whining to your community and then telling them like, you know, you folks aren't really worth us paying for to fix this game, so you're ass out of luck.
We rather don't spend some money and now make some more money on Steam.
Yeah, or you can wait another 5 years for our next game to come out, or something like that. So yeah, I mean, and like I said, I've not been a huge fan of Phil Fish this year. He's like I said, he tends to have a very cocky attitude, and this isn't really endearing himself to his fans, whoever those people are.
And it's funny because, you know, Phil Fish was, I watched Indie Game the movie, and Phil Fish was saying, you know, how every time he had to announce a delay, he was getting comments on his blog like, fuck you, go die, I hate you, you know, and this isn't doing you any favours, Phil Fish. If you don't want people to make remarks like that, don't give them reasons to make remarks like that. Even, you know, I can understand that a delay in your game is something that you often don't have a choice in doing, but this is something that you do have a choice in doing, and you've chosen not to do it.
Yeah, we shall see how this Apple shakes in a couple of weeks or whenever this gets worked out. We need some type of trauma to last us through this summer. It's been a pretty boring time for game releases. No, we do have an interesting new game console on the market, or coming out to market, or whatever. I don't even know the plan with this at this point, which is my biggest beef with it. But how do you pronounce it? Anyan?
Booyah.
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 Is it like
booyah?
Yeah. Oh, Jesus. I find that offensive based solely on principle.
This coming from you is a really big honor. But yes, this is a Android-based home console that, if I'm not mistaken, is going to retail for $100. Is it retailing for $100?
I think it will be more expensive if you buy it later on. Now the price you can get it for if you support it on Kickstarter.
If you support it on Kickstarter, and a lot of people have supported it on Kickstarter. As of this recording, almost 42,000 people, and it's at almost $5.5 million. When the original goal was just under $1 million, and they still have two and a half weeks to go. So, I mean, this is fully funded and everything. The problem I have, and the reason I haven't funded this, is it still hasn't shown me anything that... Like, it doesn't have a business plan. I don't know how they plan on, like, actually making this a sustainable model.
There's been a lot of shady things surrounding this, I have to admit. There's very strange things. Like, you know, somebody said it was for free-to-play games, and what they actually meant was, oh, all the games will have demos. That's very different. Very different from free-to-play games.
That was what I initially thought, because it's like, it's free-to-play games, and it's like, you know, mobile games, and that's all well and good, but you're not going to make a living off of, like, having nobody pay things.
They have, if you watch the video, they have a lot of very tricky language in the video.
It's all advertising at the moment, because they say that they don't have a prototype of the machine. They don't have any controllers, they just have drawings of the controller, you know. It's like, so what do you have other than this ad campaign? I mean, the best thing is, they
talk about stuff like, oh, we have games, Mojang is doing games.
Minecraft, we've got Minecraft.
We don't. We maybe we will make a game for them if this thing works out.
And... there was also, so one of the gimmicks is that it's an open source, like it's all open source and you can hack the device well easy. Now, that does not give a very good business model. And if you want to ask anybody about that, go and ask Sony, because they had the exact same problem with the PSP. People were buying PSPs just to hack them, not to buy any games on them.
Yeah, I mean,
and
it will be enough.
In the days of where, you know, having a box under your TV to play videos and stream from across your house is getting more and more popular. What is, I don't know about you, but this thing's $100. I'm going to pledge on Kickstarter for this thing, and then I'll hack it. You know, it runs on Android, so we've already got Netflix apps, we've already got Twitch.tv app, we've already got this app, the other app. So I'll just install that custom Android ROM on it, and I'll have a perfect media machine sitting under my TV, not a games console.
And continue with the games thing, I mean, I personally don't think the games situation is all that rosy on Android. The other thing is, do you really want to play mobile games on your TV? And if, as Daniel says, people hack the damn thing,
people are
already hacking the Android phones. It's kind of not that hard to pirate games on Android at times. So, yeah.
Yeah, and it's as far as I know, they don't have a software branch, so it's not even like they're supporting it with games. They're providing a system and hoping that people see this as a great avenue. But yeah, it's one of those things that it sounds great, and you know, a lot of people are supporting it, and I think a lot of people are like, you know what, we kind of want, we want this to succeed because we do want a shake up in the console space. But it's more like for supporting.
That's the only problem is, it seems to me that that's the only reason why it's popular, is because people see it as a middle finger to Microsoft, Sony, and Nintendo.
Yeah, and this, and I'm not saying that it's not, the idea behind it may be good and stuff like that, but the actual business model.
That's
behind
not
it,
how you form a business model.
Yeah, it doesn't work. There is no business model. What happens if this money, because like, as you said in this video, they don't show the console, they don't show the controller. Like, they have a prototype of the controller, which, as far as I can tell in the video, is mostly them cutting out wood shavings.
Yeah.
So they have none of this stuff. So what if development exceeds this capital? What do they do then? you can't go back.
They will do nothing, basically. If they don't find any other investors, you will
well,
not
they've
get
already
their
said, they've already said that. I think at some point they said that they were looking for money elsewhere. It's like, well, in that case, why did you come to Kickstarter for that $900,000?
Because they know they're not going to find money elsewhere, because any investors who know anything about investing don't want to invest in this.
I was already really cynical about the whole Kickstarter thing, but this is just making it worse. I'm less likely to put any money to enter Kickstarter after this.
Well, actually, the thing that really made Kickstarter make me roll my eyes was the same week was actually the Penny Arcade stuff.
Oh my god.
Where they started a Kickstarter essentially so you can remove ads from their website.
I think that's hilarious.
I mean,
I
it's called Kickstarter for a reason, not keep them going, you know?
If it was a parody, maybe, but I assume they're going to collect the money.
Serious.
Like
they're serious about it.
And I don't find that funny at all. I just find it, because Kickstarter as an idea works. I mean, Kickstarter, you know, being able to crowdsource projects and stuff like that, not just in, you know, in entertainment in general, has, you know, it's a great idea. The problem is everybody's using it without necessarily knowing how to use it. And
oh,
it's
I
such
think
a new
they know exactly how to use it. I think they're looking at it saying, we have a huge untapped potential of really stupid people here.
Yeah.
Let's see how we can put this to use.
That was going to be my other point, is that it's a new thing that people don't know how to use. And people are like, oh man, this sounds awesome. Oh, this is cool. And they just kind of support it. When, like, why, if Penny Arcade really wanted people to pay them, why not just do like what Giant Bomb and IGN does with like the Prime and the Premium subscriptions, instead of saying,
exactly.
Oh, boy, give
it's
us a million
pretty
bucks.
Pretty easy to do that.
And this is it, right? Is, you know, if I put money into this Penny Arcade Kickstarter, what am I getting out of it? Gabe will think about you during sex. You know?
Yeah, like, what is it, $1,000 and they'll follow you on Twitter?
Yeah.
My ego's not that frail that I need somebody famous to follow me. Yeah, they don't pay them. Follow me for a year. And stuff like that. I think, you know, again, it's a system that's going to be abused. And as much as I would blame Tim Schafer for this, because he was the one, like, it was a gift and a curse. He brought mainstream attention to it. But then everybody's like, how can we abuse the system now?
Especially if you've got a big brand already, like Penny Arcade.
And the other thing is about Penny Arcade, when I go to the website, I don't even find the ads that obtrusive.
I didn't know they had ads.
Yeah, so...
But apparently they do have ads, go figure. And it's done in such a way that it actually fits, it matches the background and everything. But apparently if you really want to get rid of it, you can pay them. And I think they've...
Or you could use an ad blocker.
Yeah, I was about to say, I think they've made their money from that, haven't they?
I'm not sure.
Well, this is another thing that I was thinking about. It's if they have the money to, you know...
Have two expos.
Yeah, to have two expos. And they've obviously priced that so they're going to make money out of each ticket sold. So, you know, why do you need to do this? I really don't see the need for this.
I don't either, that's the sad thing, is that they can. And they have. They've already, you know, exceeded their money, and they still have almost a month to go.
Wouldn't you? If you could get $1 million from doing virtually fuck all, wouldn't you do it too?
Oh, I honestly, if I could think of a creative way to rip people off on Kickstarter, I would as well. Yeah. And yes, I realize...
You get to make rape jokes and you get paid for it.
Yeah, I was about to say, announcing I'm going to rip people off is, you know... And it's also kind of funny in the game, because, you know, there was a huge ordeal when there was the females and video game tropes Kickstarter, and that was a huge kerfuffle. And then we kind of got this, and people are kind of rallying behind Penny Arcade, while the other one was like, oh, she's just doing it to make YouTube videos that make gamers look bad.
The thing is, this Penny Arcade stuff, I don't really like it, and I think it's
exploitation of a system. That's all it is.
Exactly, and I think it will...
But they can get away with
like
it.
Stuff like that kind of harms Kickstarter.
And this is it. It's against the Kickstarter guidelines, and somehow they got away with it. And it says the Kickstarter is for projects. Penny Arcade is not a project. You're funding pretty much the entire business.
Yeah, and it basically harms legitimate projects. You don't know how happy I was. Was it yesterday? No, it was today, right? When the first screenshot of Wasteland 2 came out. That made me happy. That's a nice project to support, and actually is something that would never have happened without Kickstarter and people who want to see a new game. Something that actually got started with the money through this website, and not bullshit like that.
I don't know, I like things that have stupid people getting taken advantage of, because it makes me happy.
Does it make you feel better about yourself, does it, Chaz?
Yes. Straight up. Yep.
I was going to say, the only problem I have with this is we're not the ones taking advantage of stupid people. I would love to make $250,000 doing nothing with saying I'm going to remove ads. That would be awesome. But, you know...
The problem is you have to be successful in the first place, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, it's kind of weird, because you have to be famous in order for any of this stuff to gain attention. Because, like, Penny Arcade, if it was any other website, if it was a smaller website, most people wouldn't care. But because it's Penny Arcade, it's got back to remove ads for a site that can afford to have ads or not have ads at this point. So, it's a, you know, I mean, we said from, like, the Tim Schafer stuff that once it became famous, Kickstarter would be abused. I just didn't think it would be. Because, like, who makes fun of Penny Arcade when they do this? Because usually you turn to Penny Arcade to have somebody make fun of it.
Well, they made themselves. They did it preemptively. There's a comic about, you know, Kickstarters for already successful people. And they went and decided to do it themselves because, well, obviously they can. So.
Yeah.
I like it.
And like you said, it's some people being taken advantage of, and it happens. And it's going to happen again when they get this console and realize there's no games for it or games you can get for free on your Android.
No, because Robert Bowling's company that only employs Robert Bowling at the moment has announced a game for 2015.
He announced a cell phone... I'm sorry, a... Ooyah
exclusive game. It's got like, it's going to be like a sort of a mini game thing that's a prequel coming out, like, I suppose a year or so. And then he's like, there, the main game's going to come out in 2015. So the Ouya's got one game, it's just going to come out in 3 years' time.
Well, it makes sense to get on the ground floor of Vaporware, because then you get your name associated with Vaporware. It's the same way like when you kind of are like the first game announced for, like, it's just in a song.
It's kind of ironic, because he used to be the creative strategist for a company that used to churn out games every single year under the same...
I'm gonna say right now, I'll be surprised if this game comes out on the Ouya at all.
I'd be surprised if the Ouya comes out at this point. Well, okay, it's going to come out because people pay for it already, and then that's going to be a whole messy situation if that doesn't happen.
Yeah, I could see it not coming out, and then just, like, years of legal battles.
Yeah.
In which I can see most people who've donated never seeing their money again and not having a product, because good legal strategists know how to keep stuff like that in court for decades.
Yeah, I was going to say, and that's the other thing, and I think the biggest thing with Kickstarter, especially for something like this, is that you're paying to... I mean, it's essentially a fancy pre-order and stuff, but it would be wiser if you were actually investing in the company, because then you end up getting more on the back end than just like... This is just like, oh, I have faith in you that you're going to deliver a product to me in 2 years.
Yeah.
I mean, did they even announce a release date for this thing, or a
time? They said, I think, March 2013 or something, which, if you ask me, is not enough time.
Yeah, it's a really tight timeline, if you think about, they don't even have a controller.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, granted, it looks like they're just going to copy the 360 controller with really bad buttons, instead of anything, it's just color-coded. But yes, there's that. And we'll keep an eye on this, because I'm sure we're going to have some legal battles to come, and we're going to have some great games announced. I imagine Call of Duty, Modern Warfare 4, Assassin's Creed,
Skyrim 2.
Skyrim 2, these massive, massive games on this $100 platform that has no control, you know, he supports free-to-play gaming.
Screw PC gaming, I'm going to put $1,000 into the Ouya, and I'm going to be Ouya exclusive from now on, I think.
I mean, I guess we should talk about another dead project, Project Sora, which was disbanded, I think, last week or the week before. And this kind of caused some bit of confusion, but even, apparently, Project Sora was the team that Sakurai put together to do Kid Icarus Uprising. People naturally assumed, and it would make sense, that they'd move over to Smash Brothers, Wii U and 3DS, but that wasn't the case. The studio was disbanded, and people thought that this was his studio being disbanded, which is actually another studio with the same name. It's not Project Sora, though. It's just like Sora Limited or something like that.
That's really confusing.
Yeah. Yeah. And nobody says Nintendo makes sense. So yes, the Project Sora team has been disbanded. Sakurai's moved over with his team and Namco Bandai to Smash Brothers Wii U and 3DS. And that's that. I mean, the confusion was people thought that Nintendo had closed down the studio for whatever reason, this and that. I mean, any thoughts?
I don't even know. My mind is just... My mind hurts because of that. Thank you.
Yeah, it wasn't. It's not an easy situation. It would help if they weren't named the same. They weren't named so close together. If it
Nintendo, here's a tip. Right, next time, if you've got two different teams doing two different things, give them different names.
Well, the thing is, I think the thing is, it wasn't the same team. Okay, maybe it was the same team.
Nobody knows. I don't even think Nintendo knows.
I think really what happened was that it's because it's being led by the same guy, and it's not like his project, it's not like Sora Limited was working on anything but Kid Icarus, but this was it's kind of like how they're working with Namco Bandai to do Smash Brothers. This was just kind of a team of freelancers put together to do Kid Icarus Uprising, and people naturally assumed that they'd keep the team around after the game was finished, which would make sense because then Nintendo would have another studio to work with. But since, you know, Sakurai wouldn't be there, It defeated the purpose that he chose it up, and they didn't have to pay these people anymore. I think that's the short and sweet of it, and we're moving on before we kind of get any more confusing about this. Ratchet and Clank Full Frontal Assault was announced. I am surprised and happy that even after, I think, like 8 games, they can still find some way to have a double Entendre in their title. From what I understand, this is a platformer meet a tower defense game.
Are there any genres that Ratchet and Clank hasn't conquered yet? An RTS Ratchet and Clank, maybe?
I was going to say platformer.
No kart racer.
There's no kart racer, but they do have, you know, oh, you're a big fan of karting, which I actually have, I'm in the beta for, so I should try that out today. So yeah, that's the thing. But yes, this is, from what I understand, it's part, you know, part platform. You go out, you collect supplies and stuff like that. And after a certain amount of time, you get attacked and you build up fortresses and stuff like that. And you go have all your fancy guns and weapons and stuff like that. So I'm kind of curious to see how this works. You can answer the information. So I'm not sure if this is a full retail title or a...
Wait, is this on PS3?
It's on PS3.
I was just saying, it sounds like a cool game to be on the Vita.
It's a PSN title.
Okay, so it's a digital title. That makes sense. But yeah, Sony doesn't do cool games for the Vita.
Oh yeah, I forgot.
Sony doesn't do games for the Vita, but that's another subject. Well, apparently Sony has the Vita Heaven event should be taking place in Japan sometime soon. We've already heard that for the last 2 months.
Soon, TM.
And I believe. They said, I believe the rumor is that Gamescom will have a very heavy Vita presence, but we pretty much predicted the same thing for E3 and that.
Yeah, but compared to E3, 3 games is a heavy Vita presence.
That is true.
It's one more game.
Oh, dear.
So yes, that's it is that. And, you know, even if that happens, I'm kind of curious to see if they can turn it around and say, we have, like, these 5 games coming out this fall, because even if you announce games for next year, you still have to get through your first Christmas, and they don't have the most story lineup right now, on paper at least. I don't really know what they have, other than a Call of Duty spinoff and an Assassin's Creed spinoff.
Is this Call of Duty spinoff even coming out this year? I don't know, because all we have seen is a fucking logo.
Yeah.
Well, it's branded Black Ops 2, so it must do, surely.
It'll probably come out. I mean, it's the same thing they kind of did with the other. Like, even like when they did the Wii version, the DS version, and the PSP version, they wouldn't really show any media for it. It was just kind of being retail stores at the time. So, yeah, there's that. What else is there? Ratchet and Clank, Sonic Adventure 2 announced for Xbox Live Arcade and PSN.
Even though we all knew it was coming.
Yes, like I said,
Xbox. And the game no one wants except crazy Sonic fans.
Chad.
I'm both of those things.
Yeah, are you going to buy this?
Yeah, probably. Like, fuck, I don't know. No, I'm going to say no, and I'm going to plan no, but it's going to happen.
You're
going to
do it
like,
anyway, yeah.
Chad, you would probably have been one of those crazy screaming guys at the Sonic Boom event, right?
Oh, yeah, man, I would have been all up in that.
This sounds really bad, but if it comes out on PC, I'll buy it just for the Chow Garden. The amount of time I spent in the Chow Garden with Sonic 2 on the Game Boy Advance. Linked
man, you're
up
in deeper than me, son.
Well, you bought Sonic Adventure 360 or 2006 and you beat it, so...
Yeah, I did.
I don't think anything can kind of...
In my defense, Sonic Adventure 2 was the only... And Sonic Advance 2 on the Game Boy Advance were the only Sonic games that I've actually really played, so...
I feel sorry for you.
I mean, I've played the Genesis ones, just not an extensive amount.
Okay. And I think we're going to wrap up with the Final Fantasy stuff. I know we tend to try to avoid rumors, but...
Especially rumors that aren't true.
Especially rumors... Well, I mean, by the nature of the beast, rumors are neither true nor false. They just kind of exist.
They're false.
Well, we're going to start off with the somewhat positive one first, which is that Square may be getting ready to announce a Final Fantasy 13-3 in September.
I wouldn't call it positive.
I said somewhat positive.
Okay.
I did say somewhat
How
positive.
Are they going to top 13 too? I mean, they already made you buy the end of the game separately. How are they going to...
They're going to... This is going to be an episodic game where you buy each chapter piecemeal.
I don't know how they made money on 13-2. Did they even make money with that game?
I mean,
I could already have bought the game like a dozen times for 12 euro.
I assume they made money, and I assume this is the same reason we're going to see a 13-3 if we do, is the fact that they probably are just kind of recouping the development costs from Final Fantasy 13 by reusing the same engines, the same character models, and the same battle system. They don't have to reinvest in all that stuff. And I imagine this because it's a very expensive engine, which is why they have a next-gen engine ready to go a year and a half before next-gen.
Which is probably a good idea.
Yeah, we'll get a Final Fantasy 15 in probably 2016.
Hopefully.
Yeah. I mean, that's the rumor. I mean, the thing is, I think they announced that they had something to announce on the future of the Final Fantasy Nova Crystallis, or whatever the Final Fantasy 13 universe is called, on September 1st, which is like August, I guess, 30th, or 31st for us.
Yeah.
So there's that. And the other thing, and this thing Chad was alluding to, is the fact that, and this is the only saving grace that Chad has right now. This is being reported by Kotaku. So.
Oh, well, fuck, never mind then. I'm not worried.
Is that Final Fantasy 13 versus 13 may have been canceled fairly recently, actually. I think they said within the past week or month or so. So, yeah, I mean, thoughts on that?
I think it's funny that they probably have cancelled their most interesting game they have been doing for quite some time.
I imagine it's because they couldn't get it to work. We haven't seen anything of this game in, like, 2 or 3 years, and even then, I think it was, like, an old trailer. And we haven't really seen much in the way of gameplay, actually, at all.
But there was some gameplay.
Yeah, there was some, but that was like 4 or 5 years ago. This game has been in development for...
too long.
This entire generation, pretty much. I think it was announced in like 2006.
It was announced together with the normal with Final Fantasy XIV, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, it was. I believe there was like 3 games announced in that whole, you know, Final Fantasy 13.
Yeah, there was a mobile title, I think. Was the third one.
Yeah. And that came out. We, of course, got Final Fantasy 13 and then 13-2, but we haven't really gotten any updates on this. I mean, the rumors around E3 was that Sony Square may have been repurposing it as a Final Fantasy 15. Which I think would have made sense, because at this point, as Martin pointed out, Final Fantasy 13 itself is just a poison brand for them. The sales of Final Fantasy 13 too, and the sales of the direct sequel are always going to take a hit, just because people haven't finished Final Fantasy 13, people don't like Final Fantasy 13.
But I mean, it's so poisonous that in the UK you could have found the game in the bargain bin within a month.
Yeah. So.
Just imagine that.
So yeah, it would make sense for him to get away from it. Even though it would be odd if it was like the same character in Final Fantasy 15, especially being that 14 is, and yeah, 14 is another story altogether. But yeah, outright canceling it, I just think like either this game was a mess, or they couldn't think of any way to salvage it without ending up losing more money, because 6 years in development, I have to imagine millions of dollars. Doesn't seem like
I can't imagine how badly mismanaged this game must be.
Yeah. And, you know, it kind of sucks because it also took out resources from the company, because this is also the studio that kind of does this Kingdom Hearts game, and I assume we're going to go this entire generation without getting a console-based Kingdom Hearts game, I should say.
Yeah, Kingdom Hearts 3, basically.
We got Kingdom Hearts 3D. That counts as something. So yeah, I mean, one is like you kind of, I mean, not that Kingdom Hearts has done bad this generation. I think the PSP and the DS games did decently. But, you know, you do kind of, you know, besides I'm one of your major franchises this generation, you really make a mess of this Final Fantasy brand this entire generation, because even 13 turned people against the series, but 14 really, really screwed the pooch. I mean, it, as far as I know, they're trying to relaunch that, and it's been 2 years.
You have to imagine, for 14 was so bad that they had to run this for free for a year.
And they had pretty much had to cancel the console version for now. I mean, part of me, I'm thinking back, because I was telling you folks, I was watching old E3s leading up to this year, and it's just making me think of all those moments Sony had with this brand this generation at E3s, and how it has to kind of, because Final Fantasy 14 and Final Fantasy Versus 13 were both announced at Sony press conference as these huge major gets. One hasn't shown up yet, and the other one's a mess on PC. So, it's kind of curious. But, yeah, they've mismanaged that brand. Dragon Quest has pretty much went over to the dark side in a lot of people's mind, since Dragon Quest 9 and Dragon Quest 10 are Nintendo exclusive titles. And at this rate, Dragon Quest 11 will be a 3DS title.
Probably. Makes sense.
Their rule of thumb is they go with the most popular console in Japan, and as of right now, there's nothing in the way of the 3DS, which has like 50% of the market share for the past
year.
Yep. So yeah, as much as I support Nintendo, I think Dragon Quest X in an online MMO on the Wii in this 6 year was a terrible decision by any stretch of the imagination. The system has been dying here, but it's been dying even longer in Japan. And
yeah,
it's not the most intuitive thing for online gaming. I mean, it's so bad, I think the game has to come with a little USB drive to have space to actually save stuff.
Oh Jesus.
Right. But the thing is also coming out for Wii U.
Which I imagine is the one we're going to get.
Something. But I don't want to think about how it's going to look on the Wii U. A lot of people will be looking at the game, wow, this looks terrible.
Well, I mean, as long as you kind of accept the fact that it's an HD version of an SD game, it should have no higher expectations than HD remakes.
I think Dragon Quest X looks bad on Wii. But that's a whole other discussion.
That's a whole other discussion, and we'll get, because that's actually out soon in Japan. And the whole idea of a turn-based MMO is just kind of odd to me. But yeah, Square has not had the... Square Japan hasn't had the best generation. Square's Western expansion has done really well for them. And they have a
basically,
new game...
Basically, Idols has been saving their ass.
Yeah, and they have Sleeping Dogs coming out soon, and that looks really good.
Early reviews are actually really good as well.
So, yeah. That's been keeping them afloat. But yeah, they really need to kind of sit down, rebound, get some new ideas, and it's not just Square, but Square seems to be the newest victim, just because, you know, this Final Fantasy versus 13. I mean, it has been this generation's greatest vaporware, right behind, I imagine, the Asgardian.
The thing about all these Japanese companies is, as much as I and a lot of other people bitch about some of the business tactics of Capcom, at least they have the shit together.
Yeah.
They release product on a regular basis with pretty high quality standards, unlike Square.
Actually, I think Capcom is the reason. I think that's the reason some people are so upset at Capcom, is because you want Capcom games, you want Capcom to do well. And they're just kind of frustrating. It's kind of the same thing I have with Ubisoft, because Ubisoft is a really great company when they want to be, and a really crappy one when they want to be. Because they release very innovative and new ideas. They can run them into the ground, everybody does that. But at the same time, they release some lazy, cheap cash grab games as well. I mean, there's no, like, pets and horses and babies and stuff like that. At the same time, you get stuff like Assassin's Creed, you get Just Dance, you get, you know, Watch Dogs and stuff like that. So it's very frustrating to watch them because half of you know they can do tremendous things, and half of you know that they're just trying to make money. So, yeah, I mean, is there anything else you folks want to talk about before we wrap?
No, I've had my Phil Fish rant.
Yeah, I guess it's not like we have anything to play.
Yeah, this has not been. I mean, and that was when somebody sent us a question. I mean, it's like, what summaries are you looking forward to?
There are summer releases.
It's summer releases if you own a 3DS. It's a
Torchlight
great.
Torchlight 2 is supposed to be a summer release, but they delayed it. So great.
I was kind of looking forward to Tony Hawk HD, but
they ruined
then
that
it
too.
Came out.
Yeah, I've heard after they changed the music, they got rid of tricks and all this other stuff.
So at that point, how is it that game anymore?
Oh, I don't think it was ever it's not Tony Hawk HD. I thought it was like Tony Hawk Pro Skaters 1 and 2 kind of remixed.
Yeah, and they chose such bad levels. It's
The point is they've been trying to remix that series for the last 10 years. We don't want remixes, we just want the originals.
I would have taken this remix if they had at least chosen some good levels instead of these fucking downhill jam bullshit.
Yeah. So, there's that. I mean, like I said, for the 3DS, you have the Rhythm Final Fantasy, which just came out. You have Kingdom Hearts 3D, which is out in 2 weeks. You have New Super Mario Bros. 2, which is out in a month. You have Transformers War for Fall of Cybertron.
Darksiders
2. So, I mean, it's a slow summer, especially this month. August, near the end of it, starts to pick up. But, I mean, obviously my pick is going to be New Super Mario Bros. 2. I mean, that goes without saying.
I'm going to say Darksiders 2.
Darksiders 2. Chad?
I have no idea what comes out this summer, to be honest.
Then you're in the same boat as most people, because there's really not much coming out this summer. There's like the 5 games you just announced, and that's pretty much it.
Tell me something that sounds like
Dogs.
I'd be interested in it.
Sleeping Dogs is also August, I think.
Oh, yeah.
What is that?
It's basically True Crimes 3.
Oh, no, I'm good.
Some of arcade games, none of them seem, I mean, I don't really know what they are, but none of them seem that special this year to me.
Yeah, I agree. I think they could have chosen better stuff. There seems to be some more interesting games that are not part of Summer of Arcade.
Especially being that one of them's an HD remake.
Yeah, that was a really weird choice.
Yeah, I'm sure Tony Hawk would do well anyhow, but yeah. It's a very, very, very light summer. And actually, I guess we can end, because I haven't done one of these in a while. The question, I asked this on Twitter earlier, and I didn't really plan on it asking on the show. But are there any genres or franchises you think are better suited to be released in the summer, or that you would like to see released in the summer?
Sorry, what was that? I wasn't listening.
I was saying, are there any genres or franchises that you think are better suited for summer release, or that you would like to see release in the summer?
Anything.
Oh, anything in particular.
The thing is,
because that means I would have it by now.
Okay,
that's a good one. But what I want to say, because we get so few releases, I prefer to get at least a game that can keep my attention for quite some time. That's something that came to my mind because of the Steam sale, because I bought Crusader Kings 2, which is a kind of deep strategy game, but I'm pretty sure it will keep my attention during the summer until something worthwhile comes out.
I'm thinking along the same lines. I think RPGs would be fantastic during the summer.
Yeah, RPGs as well, yeah.
Because you don't, especially if you don't have like 50 other games coming out next week, you don't have to rush through it. You don't have to, and these tend to give you media experiences with tons of hours of content. So, you know, you get like an RPG at the start of July, it gives you like 2 or 3 weeks, you get another one soon, and you kind of get that going. I was also going to say, I think stuff like pick up and play games, like puzzle games, and, you know, mini game collections, also are good for summer because like maybe you come in and you know, like you, some of it tends to be one of those times where like you're doing a bunch of things at once. You know, like you have a barbecue in the morning, you come back, you go out to the bars late at night, but you have hours to kill in between that. So you can pick up a game that's not really that, you know, it's not intense, it's not something that's time consuming, but something you can play for like an hour or so and kind of get you, you know, kind of feel like you're doing something. I think those work as well. And of course, kids' games, because kids have summer off and they have a lot of free time. So, you know, do good kids' games, though. You don't want them to just kind of be like SpongeBob games.
So, Lego Batman.
Lego Batman's a good game. It was, I think it's like the what, second best-selling game of June?
Maybe. I don't follow the sales stuff that much.
Okay. So, yeah. Lego Batman's a good example, and Lego Batman was the last big console game, which is the problem, because we don't see anything again for 2 months.
Yep.
And of course, I mean, like Daniel says, technically speaking, anything would work in the summer, but I do think that, you know, if there are things you should sit down and think about and see, like, you know, JRPGs in November are just going to be a terrible sell for me if I have, like, 50 other games coming out at the same time, especially if I beat them in, like, a week.
Yep.
Stuff like
but
that.
You know, everything will still be coming out in the fall.
Or in the first 3 months of the year.
Yeah.
They didn't make it out at Christmas.
Because all publishers think they have such great games on their hand that all of them will sell well.
Yeah, and here's going to be the thing, and this is always the thing. And I have an article about this on the website I did a couple of months ago. Is that you can sell well in July and August. We've seen that time and time again. We've seen it with StarCraft. We've seen it with
what was that?
You know, StarCraft came out in July, and that was one of the best selling games of that year.
I know. It's just interesting that you actually said StarCraft.
it caught your attention apparently. So there's that. And I was going to say that we have New Super Mario Bros. 2 coming out August. I don't know, right? It's a Mario game, but it's going to come out in August, and it's probably going to end up being one of the best-selling games of this year. That shows games can sell in the summer. And it's going to end up selling well during Christmas as well, because it's a strong game and not a game that needs to sell everything in its first month. StarCraft, you know, continues to do that. Diablo sold well. Granted, it was more early in the year. One of the biggest, best-selling games of this year was Wii Sports Resort, this generation's Wii Sports Resort. That was a July release. Metal Gear Solid was a June release and stuff like that. And these all sell remarkably well. Yes, I realize they have huge brands attached to them. But we also launched BioShock and Batman Arkham Asylum in August. And those ended up being some of the best-selling games of this generation as well. You can name hundreds of games that come out in October and November that just end up falling to the wayside and don't do that well. So, you know, there's a market for everything. You just need to work on it and really just see what, you know, especially when you have 2 or 3 months to yourself, you can market the hell out of it. And if need be, especially at this rate, you can do a Game of the Year edition in November.
It's because too many companies are scared of the Steam Summer Sale.
Well, part of that could not that could be true. I mean, the Steam Summer Sale is so vicious. I have personally just not looked at anything, so I'm not tempted to buy anything. But it's even extended further because Best Buy is actually doing it on a retail scene now. So like we get Best Buy. I mean, granted, Steam is international, so you folks get in on it too. But Best Buy is doing like a I think they're doing like a summer game and clearance sale or something like that. So like you get, I mean, granted, some of these are older games, but like I think they have Metroid Other M for $5. They have Infamous 2 for $10. So there's a lot of games that I'm just looking at. I'm like, I don't want to spend money on this. I don't want to spend money on this. But Final Fantasy 13 to $15. Resident Evil Operation Raccoon City $15. The Other War 3 $15. Silcom 4 $10. Assassin's Creed Revelations $10. Just Dance 3, $10. Infamous 2, $10. Steel Diver, $5. And there's still a ton of other games. And just to finish my advertisement for Best Buy, they're also offering 50% in addition when you trade in games with them. So you can just use your old games to buy these brand new shiny games to play during the summer. And this podcast has been brought to you by Best Buy and Steam.
I picked up a bunch of indie games on Steam. So I'm pretty happy with this new sale.
like I said, I just haven't. I mean, part of it is I've been gone all week, but I really just don't want to get it because I know I'm going to be tempted to buy games that I never actually play. I'm sure you all have games on Steam that you've bought during this other Christmas sale, and then you never touch, but it seems like a good idea.
I'd say most games I have on Steam I haven't played.
I play all my games, except the ones I have on Steam that I didn't even know I have.
Wait, that's even worse, that you bought games and don't know you have them.
I recently discovered I have games like Zombie Shooter 1 and 2, and I don't even know where I even got them from.
What is Zombie Shooter 1 and 2?
I mean, I have no idea!
It's a game where you shoot zombies, believe it or not.
I figured that was from the title, but I wanted to know if it was more to it.
Things where it's like a studio pack or something, and they're just two random games that studio has made.
Okay. So here's what we're going to do for next week's show. We're going to have a little bit of a homework. Everybody's going to pick out one game that they have on Steam that they haven't played yet. They're going to play it at some point this week, and they're going to report back next week with impressions of that game.
Does it have to be a thing I bought recently, or like that game I don't even know?
It has to be a game on Steam that you didn't, you've never played. Hopefully you knew you bought it. But, you know, just kind of go through it. Like, I mean, I can think of several. I bought like several Humble Indie bundles. I haven't actually touched any of those. But yes, buy it. I mean, look at the library, see what you can play. Play at least one. I mean, you know, you can play as many as you want, but at least play one.
Okay.
And then
Do it. I have free time.
Yes, and it's not like we have anything else. And then we'll come back next week, and we'll start off with everybody talking about that new game they've played, or that new old game that they've played.
That's a great idea.
That is our homework assignment for next week. So, for Martin, Chad, Daniel, and myself, this has been Dual Worlds in episode 76.
I'll be the same.